He is worthy. Hallelujah. I hope you're not in salvation for your own fame or for your own glory, but for the glory of the King. Amen. We're all battling and we're all fighting for one thing, to receive the crown of life. And the crown that we receive from serving Him in this life, we shall cast before Him. For He alone is worthy. He alone brings glory. He alone brings change. He alone works in our heart. Amen. He is worthy. We have to let Him, but He is the one that does the work. Amen. It's not about us. Hallelujah. Jesus' own self said, I can of mine own self do nothing. That which I do by the unction that the Father has placed on the inside of me and the grace that He has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me shout right there. Glory to God. It's not about you and I. It's really about others, isn't it? Our laying our life down that they might know Jesus. Hallelujah. How many would like to lead somebody to Jesus this year? Amen. It's only March. Hallelujah. Come on now. You got a few more months. You got about 10 months. Hallelujah. Let's start thinking about it. Amen. Start praying about it. Now, Lord, who can I win? Maybe you know Susie at the Walmart. I don't know Susie, but you know Susie. I go through her line every time. I know her. Hallelujah. What can I do, Lord? How can I plant the seed? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that one plants, one waters, but God gives an increase. Amen. His word doesn't return void. Amen. You're a son and a daughter of the living King. You know, sometimes just a smile or a listening ear makes a difference. You know, I remember being in line one time and, you know, and you could see the lines getting long and the lady's having trouble with the person in front of you. You know, and you hear the people behind you. They're not saying anything, but, you know, I remember that one time and I just told her, I said, ma'am, don't worry about them. Just relax. It's okay. I'm not in a big hurry. Whatever it takes, you get that problem solved. You know, sometimes we got to lend a little grace. They can't help it. That's their job. They have to solve it. You know, but it can become frustrating when people are standing in line. Can you believe it? Every time I come. You know, she almost broke down in tears when I said that. Because it's so pressuring sometimes. People don't give any grace. Amen. That's being a Christian. That's following God. That's walking in faith. In the faith that God placed on the inside of your heart. Because we love Him. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need grace. Amen. I need the grace of God. I need it every day. We are saved, what? By grace through faith. Amen. It's not just about grace. It's not just about faith. But grace brought us to a place where we can place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He paid for it. Hallelujah. But that's the good news. Amen. If you brought your Bible, praise the Lord, you may open it to James chapter 2 for a minute. Now, I know we've been talking about faith for a while. I'm finally getting to understand it. I don't know about you. How many are getting a little more understanding? Amen. But we basically got A, B, and C down here. We know what faith is. We're firmly persuaded, right? It is our convictions down on the inside. It is what we believe. Amen. Hallelujah. It is what we believe. That is faith. Faith and belief, we saw, were the same thing. We saw that faith can come easily. Amen. If we hear the word of God and we decide and we say, hey, I accept that as truth, faith begins to come. And that is very true. And we know how faith comes. And most people do. Many times people have a little bit of trouble seeing what faith is. But once we understand that we're like Abraham, he became fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. And we become fully persuaded that what God has said and what he has promised, he is able to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And we become convinced, in other words. We have a conviction on the inside. How many are? You're convinced. You're persuaded that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Amen. You're persuaded. Your name is written down in heaven. Are you sure tonight? Amen. Well, I'm sure. Well, how do I know? Because I know what the Bible said. I believed in my heart. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I was born again. And then we look over in Romans 8, see? And we said, oh, the Spirit of God bore witness. He bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I have love for the brethren. And 1 John said what? If we have love to the brethren, it's a sign that we know that we have this eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a good scripture. Let's go over there. Let's go over to 1 John. See if I can find that real quick. Hallelujah. We can know that we have eternal life. Amen. All right. Here's the one on love here. 1 John 4:7-8 said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is what? Born of God. And knoweth God. He that loves not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. We know, see, that's one of the signs here. Hallelujah, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, love is of God. Everyone who doesn't love, everyone that does love, that really loves, is born of God. And what? Knows God. Hallelujah. Maybe before you were born again, you said, well, I had a certain amount of love, but when we got God, when he moves in, he bears witness with our spirit. The love of God moved in. Amen. And we realize, hey, I love these people. What's the deal? I love to go to church. I love these people. Wow, I didn't love them before, but I do now. I thought they were kind of crazy, but I got born again. I received Jesus. My nature's changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, it's good to know. Amen, to know something. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. We can know. See, I think it's chapter 5, isn't it? Hallelujah. And then we look over here, and this is the record. 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know. Verse 13, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what according to his will he hears us. But we can know that we have eternal life. Why? Because we have the Son of God on the inside of us. That's the faith of God. We know something. That is faith. That is firm persuasion. We were saying, are you sure you're saved? Are you firmly persuaded? Well, how do I know? Well, I got the love of God in me. I got the Son of God living in me. I know in whom I believed. And I know that he was raised from death to life. Hallelujah. I was changed. I'm not the same person I was. I got a different nature on the inside. Maybe everything on the outside didn't change immediately. Maybe you didn't change all your bad words. Maybe you didn't change all your bad behavior right away, immediately. But that change began to come from the inside out. You said, oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know, maybe you slipped a little bit, you know, but now you said, oh, praise the Lord. Of course, if you really started getting those feelings, start catching up, and everybody looks up, look out, here he comes. Here he comes. He's all cheery. He is all happy. You know, I remember Gary talked about that, carrying one of them big, you ever seen anybody get saved and they carry the big family Bible around? You know? They're just looking for somebody. Do you know Jesus loves you? Hallelujah. You know, they got a hold of it. Amen. Sometimes we don't feel saved though. And when we don't feel saved, do you know you're saved? Amen. Why? Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is a persuasion. It is a conviction based on what we have heard and what we know to be true from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm so glad I know what faith is. Glory to God. Some people, they say, well, you know, when they say, my faith helped me, in other words, they're saying what they believe helped them. That is faith. You know what they believe. They believed in Jesus. They put their trust in God. Amen. I was trusting in the Lord in my faith. Now, some people, you know, put their faith in the wrong thing. And that's unfortunate. They put their faith in something else. You know, in their, maybe it's a dead relative or something else. Amen. You know, some of these religions, a false religion, that's not going to give you much hope. You know, but people believe certain things because they were what? Deceived. And you say, well, how does that go into our message tonight? Well, because we know that faith does come pretty easily and we can receive it. And we know that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what is the last thing that we have? Number three is that faith has to be released. And primarily, it's released with what? Words and actions. But remember something, words are action. Amen. When we begin to believe something, we speak it forth from that place of believing. We allow it to come from our lips. We say, Lord, I believe, I receive my healing. And we talked about last time a little bit more about hope, how God gave Abraham and Sarah the vision. It is what they saw, the image on the inside of them changed from not being able to have that child to saying, I am the father of a multitude. I see the stars, Lord, I can't number them. I see the sand. My descendants, his spiritual descendants became outnumber the stars and the sands of the sea. He said, it's going to be like that, Abraham. Not exactly that number, but, you know, he said, it's going to be like that. They're not going to be able to be numbered. There's going to be so many. Now, I don't know what number you are when you got saved, but some number in the kingdom. Amen. We were all somebody. We're not just a number. Thank you, Jesus. We might be to the government, but we're not to God. Amen. You know, we all got a number. Well, what's your number? That's how they identify you. But God identifies us as who we are, his sons and daughters. He said, I've adopted you. Actually, I birthed you. Amen. Because why? We were born again. Glory to God. And we have that persuasion. But faith has to be released. And we talked in about that in James chapter 2. We said faith being alone is dead if it doesn't have works. Verse 17 says, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So you can have faith. You can know you have faith. You can believe. People say, well, I believe. And you may believe, but you could die believing and not receive. Because the faith has to be acted upon. Amen? How many know there are people right now, they believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but they don't want anything to do with God. They said, well, I believe that. I think he died. I believe he's raised from the dead. Yeah, I really do. I believe that. I had that belief. Aren't I going to heaven? No. The Bible said the devil believes and they tremble. They know the truth. And sometimes people have heard the truth. They've heard it and they actually do believe it, but they do not ever act on it. They never confess Jesus as their Lord, and they do not get saved unless they do. Or maybe it may be there, maybe as a child, they heard about the gospel, they believed the gospel, but they never acted upon it. They never confessed Jesus as Lord until maybe many years later. They had faith to be saved. They could have been born again. They could have confessed Jesus. But they decided not to. They said, no, I'm not ready yet. I'm not. Anybody heard that? I don't think I'm ready yet. What do you mean you're not ready? Jesus paid the price a long time ago. He said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now. He doesn't want us to wait till we're, 99 and barely breathing and confessing. Not really. It's not his best. He'll take it, praise God. He's merciful. How many know God's merciful? Amen. But most of us are getting smarter than that, I hope. And most people, seriously, I mean from the surveys, have some kind of experience with God before the age of 18. And certainly by the time they're out of college, 22 or 23. Almost everyone has had some kind of an experience with God before that time that is born again today. So maybe, it takes a little more if you don't, How many know why? Because see, they get to seeing people. They begin to see a lot of things. They say, well, how could that be? God is so loving and merciful. How come there's all this war and famine and all these things? And they're looking around at external things and God's looking at the heart of man. So that's exactly the problem. We need to get them born again. That's why we have the wars. That's why we have terrible sickness in this earth, is because of the sin of mankind. Not because God's in charge. He oversees a lot of things, and there's certain things and certain timetables that he has set and that will take place. He's coming back. God knows the time. Even Jesus said, I don't know the time, but the Father knows. And he's going to send me at the right time. I will be. Jesus does know he's coming. We know that he's coming. Boy, this is good. Anyway. But anyway, faith, we can have that in us. We could believe that. You can believe Jesus is coming. But if we really believe, how many know, if we're firmly persuaded, then what James is saying, there needs to be a little action. Hallelujah. If it hath not works, if there's no words coming out of your mouth, if faith is just there by itself, if it's never released, it's not going to benefit you. It's going to be as good as dead. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Verse 20 of James 2. He's just taking it right down the line. James is kind of getting on to us here. He sure is. He's saying, where is your faith? I should see something then if you're really believing, he said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Hallelujah. And then we look down at verse 26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, if we got a corpse up here, you know, and someone had died and there's no spirit in there, that body's not going to have any life, is it? It's just going to, anybody ever been to a funeral? You know, and they, or down to the morgue and they embalm the person. You know, they can pinch him. They can move him around. They can do whatever. You can take some pins and go stick him in there. You can take 50 pins and put him in there. They're not going to scream. They're not going to cry. Their body is not bothering them at all because there's no life. The spirit is gone. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is just like a dead corpse that you're just, you know, it could be there, but you're just carrying something around. If we don't release it, if we don't act upon it. That's why he said, Mark 11, he said, whosoever shall what say with his mouth. Amen. Let's look over there at it. Mark chapter 11. Now this is what Jesus said. That's important. How many believe that Jesus didn't waste words? Mark 11:22 says this, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have your persuasion in the Lord Jesus, in God himself. Are you persuaded? Do you have the kind of faith that God has? Hallelujah. He's saying, have the same kind of faith that God has. Have faith in God. Because the Bible said that God calls those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. No. Not what is as though it is. No, not what is as though it is. He calls those things that be not, that you don't have right now, as though it were. I say with my mouth, I am blessed. Why? Because God has already blessed me. God has already taken care of it. He said, I have blessed you. Ephesians 1:3, and bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I said that more times when I didn't feel like it than when I felt like it. And I've watched God be faithful. And I begin to become blessed. My things begin to line up. Things begin to change. How many know sometimes the enemy wants to come? First of all, when it seems like it's a good deal, he comes with the counterfeit first. You ever seen that? I know my wife and I, bless this dear lady's heart, she had it in her heart we should get a place to stay. Oh, a different, you know, someplace free. And she knew this lady and she needed somebody to stay there and rent a room, you know, get a room from her and just kind of help her around the house and help her in the yard and so forth. So we go to look at this house and we open the front door and it stunk so bad. It burned your nose. This poor lady that had showed us, she didn't know that at first because she had lost her sense of smell for a while, but it stunk so bad. And then we walked into the house. Anybody ever see one of those people that are what they call a hoarder? This is extreme hoarding. I am not kidding. There was a path. Barely, you could just barely walk through. I mean, there was things stacked on this side and on that side and over there. And the lady's like, well, we might have to move a few things around. And you're thinking, I don't think this is going to work, but okay. And of course that didn't work and she apologized and she was so sorry, but she didn't know. She didn't realize. She had no idea. She hadn't been there before either. We walked in. Of course we left and we never did contact her again. Praise the Lord. But not long after that, God did open the door And we did have a free place to live. She was hearing from God. She really was hearing from God. Because at my job, Mrs. Jones came out and she asked if my wife and I would like to stay there on her property here in the servants' quarters. Very nice quarters. They weren't, you know, super fabulous, but they were nice. I mean, this was a multi-million dollar home, and the servants' quarters are on the other side of the garage, the five-car garage, you know, attached to the five-car garage. And it wasn't real big, but I would say, you know, maybe from, you know, maybe not even that big, but it wasn't that big. About five or six, about 600 square feet, something like that. And it was like two rooms, and we had the bedroom, and we set up the living room on the other side, and just kind of little had a little kitchenette. So we didn't have a lot of kitchen space, but we didn't really need it. And moved in, praise the Lord. Not only that, guess what? She says, oh, I got a storage unit. Why don't you just go put all your what you don't need in the storage unit? So we've got about 95% of our things very nicely, you know, boxed. And some of it's, you know, even our furniture, we really didn't have room for it there. You know, most of it's in this storage unit. So we marked it all real nice, and, you know, had wrapped it up, and everything's there and stored, oh, a few things up in her attic. I don't know, two or three boxes that we thought we might need to get out. And everything else was pretty much put away. And God blessed us. We were blessed being there. We didn't know God was getting ready to move us, though. You said, what? We just moved there. And not long after that, about 4 months later, God spoke to us about going to Ramah. Supernatural. It was God. I'm just telling you, I can mark the spot today. If her house was still standing there, I could show you exactly where it was. Put next right on the floor. That's where God told me. I know that I know. I don't think he told me. I didn't ask him. He told me. Son, I want you to go. Okay. It wasn't that simple, but it was. I kind of argued with him a little bit. So, Lord, I've been praying about that. But there was words and there's actions that we have to do to follow our faith or our persuasions. And also, we use our faith. We talked about last time a little bit more about what I call faith, really faith for assignment. God gave me an assignment there, didn't he? He said, I want you to go to Ramah. Oh, Lord, I prayed about this for several years. Every year I'd been praying, just didn't get a witness. I couldn't get a release, I should say. I thought God wanted me to go, but I just couldn't get the release. How many know there's a timing with God? So I didn't go. I waited. I said, well, why'd you wait so long? I don't know. God's got perfect time. That's why. You know, when I went, we didn't have any debts. We didn't have any bills. We had some money saved up. It wasn't a big faith deal. Didn't have to be. Because God had already blessed us. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know God doesn't mind blessing you in advance as well as after? Amen. You got that big credit card run up. You said, man, how many know it'd be a real blessing if he had blessed you before that credit card ran up? Amen. Before you decided to run it up. Hallelujah. People have gotten themselves into trouble. Why? Because they didn't believe God. They decided to use the credit card. Instead of believing God or being patient. Boy, I don't know why I'm on that lately. You know, being patient and using wisdom. And saying, hey, I'm going to wait until I have the money to do it. Don't do it till I have it. You know, I found out God can provide in advance as well as after. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. We should be wise. If we're wise, we'll listen to him. You know, maybe you have an emergency fund or whatever. You may have to spend it on something. Washer goes out or the dryer goes out. You don't want to have $0, right? Well, I got nothing. Well, I guess we put it back on the card. pay interest to them, you know. We'll get it paid off eventually. But then you do that again, and somebody does it again. And what happens if you do it again? Eventually you come to the place you said, well, how did he get that high? You don't even remember what you bought. Anybody ever been there? How did he get that high? Oh my Lord, why? Because we didn't use faith on the inside of us that we had all along, and we could have taken the Word of God and said, no, I'm going to ask my Father, and He'll take care of me. He will provide for me. You said, well, how's He going to do that? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to find the Word of God and to trust Him and then to seek Him. See, we had to seek Him, even though I know, hey, I got to go to Ramah, but is that this year? Is it next year? Is it in 5 years? I had that sense on the inside of me before that, but I didn't get the release till God made that clear. He said, now's the time. Now's the time. And my wife, she said, I know it. I told her, I said, something's changing. I didn't even know what it was. She said, yeah, something's changing. So I began to pray, fast and pray. How many know you seek the Lord? He will be found. But sometimes we got to seek Him on something specific. What are you saying, Lord? What is it, Lord? What is it? That's what my spirit was crying out and saying. But boom. I got it. Finally got it. Thank you, Lord. I got you. Yes, sir. I argued with Him a little, but praise the Lord. He said, now I want you to listen to me. In other words, He wasn't hearing it. He didn't want any argument. He said, I'm telling you, this is what I want you to do. And then He told me what's going to happen. And it did happen. Hallelujah. I let it happen. I said, all right, Lord, that's what you want. But anyway, we got to get our words hooked up. We got to get some action hooked up to the faith that's already in you. Amen. And those are mainly words. Hallelujah. And we have pretty much established that. But I think it's important because Jesus says here, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But where does the believing take place? Not here in the head, but down in the heart. Why? Because faith is of the heart. And we talked about the heart. We've talked about that here. Our spirit man. Our inside man. We can believe God. And sometimes your mind might tell you you are crazy. You're nuts. It's not going to happen. Your mind may be telling you everything, but you said, no, I believe what you said, Father. I believe what the Word of God said. And you have to say, no, Mr. Devil, no. I resist you. I speak to this mountain. I said, go. You can depart from my life. Sickness, get out. Hallelujah. Torment, leave me alone. Go. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. God lives in me. Hallelujah. And we take the Word of God and we stand our ground and we take our faith and we speak it against the problem. That's what that mountain represents. Now, Jesus was talking to a literal mountain. He said, you could do that. You could put this whole thing when it looks impossible. Hallelujah. You can keep on speaking to that mountain from what we have believed, and it will obey you. Everybody say, me. That's right. Me, you. You have faith. Now, I have faith. You have faith. But that faith has to be released. It must be spoken out. Now, let's go back over to James for a second. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians, Acts, Romans. And then you got 1 Corinthians, and we got 2. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Everybody said, well, I knew that. After that, I'm not sure what comes, but you know. Hallelujah. As one guy said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John took an axe and killed the Romans. Hallelujah. What's that got to do with our message? Absolutely nothing. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's just to help us remember the books of the Bible. I don't know if you ever knew what came after that. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Hallelujah. We speak from a place of faith. Why? Because we know in what our Father has said, and we know in whom we have believed. See, our faith is really not just in the promise. It's in who God is. It's in who said it. Amen. Our faith's in God. Amen. It's not just in that. We know that the promise is good because we know the promiser. Hallelujah. We talked about that. There's two sides that build and produce faith on the inside of us. What God said, but who He is. He is not a man that He could lie, remember? He is faithful, that promised, who also will do it. God watches what? Over His word to perform it. It's His character. He can't help Himself. The Bible says God is love. He said, no good thing will I withhold. I am not a withholder, I'm a giver. Hallelujah. I can believe He's a giver. He said, He will reward me as I diligently seek Him. He said, without faith it is impossible to please. He is a rewarder. God is a giver. God is not a withholder. And He will answer me when I call. The moment I call. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. He said, if we abide in Him. John chapter 15. Let's look at that for a minute. That's good to remember. We're seeing not just what He said, but who He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wrong chapter. Hallelujah. John 15. John chapter 15. This is really good to read anyway. If you read John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all of it, much of it is what Jesus said. But here in 15, He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears not fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Then He says this, He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. And then He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall what? Ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Not might, it shall. See, we can ask and be guaranteed and have confidence that we'll receive. See, it would be one thing If God said, oh, he's all loving, he doesn't withhold anything, but then we ask and we're not sure we're going to get it. But he said, no, that's not his character. He said, no, I shall give it to you. I'm going to. It's not a maybe so, it's not a hope so. It's knowing that when we ask, he will deliver. The moment we ask. How many remember Daniel when he prayed? And what happened? It seemed like it was being delayed. Things weren't going so well. Daniel's standing. And he's staying there. When the angel came, your prayer was heard the first day, Daniel. The moment you asked. There was just some interference in the realm of the spirit that had to get out of the way. But here we are to bring the answer. And sometimes the answer is on our way and we just throw in the towel. Oh, our emotions get all in sorts. Why? Because there's another part to faith. It's not just knowing. It's knowing who he is. Yes, it's being convinced. Yes, it's having that faith and we know we have it. And yes, it's speaking out of our mouth. But faith also must be fed. It must be fed. You can't just have that faith in there. How many know if you can see people and they receive Jesus and maybe they have faith on the inside of them, but how many have ever seen them real weak? Boy, it's hard sledding, hard to tell whether or not they're born again for sure or not. You know, and you get the magnifying glass out. Are you sure you're born again? They say, yes, yes, the little weak spirit and heavy flesh all over me. Are you sure you've confessed Jesus? Yes, I did. And you hear their voice and they know. Because why? They've never really fed their spirit. They didn't have the fellowship of other believers. They didn't get into a good church. See, part of why we come to church and hear the word of God, not because we don't know, but we feed what we already know, and it is what strengthened by the truth. Amen. How many know? We got to keep strengthening, feeding our faith. That's why Jesus said, you know, there are times that Jesus told people they had weak faith. Their faith wasn't very strong. There's other times and they had what? Great faith. Their faith was there. And there are other times when they had what? No faith. How is it you have no faith? You didn't believe what I said. I said go to the other side. Not stop in the middle of the storm. You see, because that's what's going to happen. If we don't feed our faith when the storm hits, we begin to get weary. And we look at the things around us and the storm begins to get our attention. But how many know? When you're strong in faith, when you know and you've been feeding upon the truth of the Word of God, how many know you can stand in the midst of the storm? Why? Because your feet is upon the rock of the truth that you have fed into your spirit. That's part of what confession does for us. Sometimes there's a confessing unto faith to where faith takes hold on the inside of us. But then when that belief is so strong on the inside of us, we speak from where we believe and it is done. Hallelujah. Because we have to get our soul. That's why sometimes we hear it. You can hear somebody. Amen. They're speaking their word. No, I said, by his stripes I'm healed. Why? Because the devil comes to bring things to our mind and to our emotion and he wants to stop us. And we have to sometimes pick up our voice and shock our soul. No, I said, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not moved by how I feel right now. And I may not feel like saying anything, but I stand my ground. And I take the word of God and I said no to that circumstance. I speak to you. Go from me. Be cast into the sea and it shall be done because I believe that I have received what God has given to me, what he has already promised. And I have a grounds to stand because I have taken the Word of God and I have fed it into my spiritual man. And my faith is continuing to stand and to stay strong. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Doug? How could that be so? Well, let's just turn. I was going to go to a different book, but I'm going to go here to Mark for a minute. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. We can see it right here. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. Now, yeah, we have to continue to keep our hearts sensitive to the Lord, keep our heart clean before God, keep ourselves open to the things of God. Why? Because we want to be that good ground. Who decides what kind of ground you are? God doesn't. He just sows the seed. He helps us. We sow the seed. But what determines our ground? Isn't it us? Amen. He says here in verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Has anybody ever seen that? Maybe it happened to you. You got the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I got all excited. You're all excited. Woo! And what happens? Nothing. Why? Because the excitement wore off and you said, oh, well, I guess I didn't get nothing. You know, all the excitement wore off and it was an emotional experience. God's trying to build sons of God, mature sons of God, people that can stand in the midst of the storm. So when something comes, the devil comes immediately, it said, to try to steal that word. Why? Away to and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Amen. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's what I was just saying. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. How many know? We've seen all of these things around us. But verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. We know they heard it. We receive it as what? Truth. Hallelujah. Faith has come. And bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know that Satan comes? You said, well, that's why we want to keep feeding our faith. And let's see. Yeah, we got time. Hallelujah. We keep feeding our faith because the enemy wants to come. And he wants to oppress you and I. Amen? Let's look at James for just a second. But we don't want to give up something, that's for sure. We don't want to give up our confession of what God has said. You want to find yourself those scriptures. You want to seek God on it. You say, what? Yeah. Sometimes it can be something little, but we should seek God. I know a great guy, he's a really good guy, and he got a little infection in his toe. How many know sometimes we get a little haphazard and we're not as diligent as we should be believing God? Well, he had a little check in his heart. And he knew he shouldn't go, but he went anyway. He went to the gym. And at the gym, he got in the hot tub. And his toe had been infected and had a little sore. How many know a lot of people use those hot tubs? No offense. If you use it, wonderful, but make sure you don't have any cuts and bruises on you. Amen. He didn't realize that. Ended up getting a worse infection in there. Went to his blood and he died. Because he didn't listen to that little scratch down on the inside. That witness that said, oh, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't go. And there wasn't a lot of time. You know, he wasn't taking it seriously. That yes, God's healed him. Yet we have an inner witness on the inside of us we have to follow. Amen. We got to stay aware. We got to walk with God. We got to let our faith in every area work with us. And it's very important. I'm not saying that to discourage anybody. I'm saying it because he was not diligent and was not speaking like he knew he should have. And he himself said, I don't think I have time to get my faith where I need it to be. And realized he wasn't going to make it. He said, I don't think I can get over there. He tried. But it just didn't happen. Because he said, I wasn't diligent to speak on the onset. When it first happened, when his little cut was there, and when, you know, instead of following, and then he said, I wasn't diligent. I didn't listen to my heart because it was pretty strong on him. Don't go there. No. He didn't understand. He didn't know why. He just didn't think he should go. And he ended up, I'm sorry to say, he died. I'm not saying God's, you know, it's never too late, not too hard for God. But maybe he didn't have like we do. We got a body of believers. Amen. You guys are believers, right? We pray one for another. He didn't have somebody to stand with him. And he passed away. Sorry. Anyway, enough of that. But anyway, when we're there, we have to realize that our words do matter. Let's look at... Let's go ahead back up here at verse 22. This applies. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now let me say something there for a second, because how many know one of the enemy's biggest tools, especially in the last days, is what? Deception. Jesus said in Matthew 24, take heed that you be not deceived. And how many know what Revelation said when we stand before the Lord in the great day? That little pipsqueak. You mean that little turkey? That turkey deceived me? Oh my goodness. You'd have squashed him if you knew. And you can because you're bigger than him. Because he's been defeated already and you don't have to be deceived. Hallelujah. But we don't have to deceive ourselves either. Amen. I think more people are deceiving themselves than we do anything else, because we hear the word, but we've got to become doers. Amen. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man holding his face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Now, what's he talking about here? The perfect law of God, the word of God. He continues therein. And he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Then he says this, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, if there's anything that should affect our mouth, it's what we believe. Amen. Some people become religious in one sense, you know. But religion, he's talking about here, that's pure and holy before God. He goes on to say, undefiled before the Father is this, that we visit the fathers and widows in their affliction. But he's saying here, don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Hallelujah. How many know? Sometimes speaking the word of God takes a little bit of work. Feeding our spiritual man on the inside in an area, it can be a little bit of work. Why? Oh, we got to study a little bit. Well, what is it that I was needing? I need that peace. Where is that peace? Where is that scripture, honey? I know it's somewhere. Where does it say that? And you're going to have to look it up. Maybe you'll have to write it down. Maybe you'll have to find you 4 or 5 good scriptures on peace. And then you're going to have to, you know, keep them with you. You might have to write them down, keep them with you. Now we got, you know, phones and everything else. Now you can type it on there and have it talk to you pretty much. But I'm just saying, whatever it takes, however you can do it, so that you can look at it. Not once today, but maybe you look at it in the morning, and then during your lunch break, you look at it again. Why? Because I'm feeding my spirit, and my spirit must stay strong because I got an adversary, the devil, who wants to steal that truth from me. Because the Bible says the word of God is truth. Jesus says, thy word, Father, is truth. He wants to steal that word from you. And if we are not diligent, he'll be successful if we're not careful. And we'll become deceived because we let down our guard. See, we've got to guard our faith. Amen. A lot of people, we don't think about it. We got to protect it. Amen. Don't you protect yourself? Or do you just walk out and tell everybody all about yourself? You tell everything about you, don't you? Don't you go over to your neighbor's door and knock there? Well, let me tell you. You know, when I was a kid, let me tell you what happened. Oh, I'm so hurt. I'm so hurt. Now, some people do that. We call them crazy. Because they are. They're rehearsing their past all the time. They're stuck somewhere. Stuck in their pain. You know, now you may come and share that with somebody that you know, right? You know, you don't share with everybody. Somebody that you trust or you come to trust. We guard ourselves in certain areas. We need to guard our faith. Amen. Because out of that faith is where we're going to gain victory. And that's where we're going to speak. Is from what we have fed into our spiritual man. What we have allowed to be strengthened. Hallelujah. Amen. And what we allow to bring us victory. But if we're haphazard and if we're forgetful hearers or if we become drawn back and we don't stand strong, then our faith can wane, we call it. It kind of wanes, you know. Brother Hagin used to talk about the anointing. You know, it can wane in your life if you're not staying strong in the Lord. Not that God can't use you, but it's not as strong as it could be. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying the enemy comes. Yep, God's merciful. And praise God, we got a group here that they'll get behind you and help you get your faith up. And we'll get that miracle for you one way or another. Praise God, we're not going to let you die. We're not having nobody dying here. Well, unless they really want to go to heaven. We can't exercise authority over a person's will. Amen. But if God said it, you know, well, and if somebody gets satisfied, praise the Lord, how am I going to let them go? But why let them go sick? Why don't you get them well first? Amen. Then let them decide. You want to live a couple more years or are you done? Well, I feel so good. Praise God. I think I'll stick around. They get filled with the Holy Ghost and spend a couple of years praying. Revival down into St. Thomas. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to get our faith. We got to start looking on God's side. God's bigger than the devil. He's way bigger. Way bigger than him. And he's got a whole lot more power. Hallelujah. He's just needing somebody in the earth to let it out. Amen. Let's stand up. Closed my Bible and kept preaching. Sorry about that. It was good anyway, wasn't it? Amen. We've got to stand. We've got to guard our faith. Maybe that's the title tonight. Guard your faith. Speak your faith and guard your faith. Feed your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of it. Father, we thank you that what we believe can affect our life, that we can change circumstances by what you have said, Father. And we can say no to the enemy, Lord. And we can say yes and receive your promises. We thank you. We give you glory for it, Father. We ask you to help us to remember your word, Lord, to help us to feed our faith, to protect our faith, and to speak our faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.